Today we celebrate mothers. It's the source of our earthly knowledge of unconditional devotion and love often comes from our experience with our mothers. There was a cartoon that was recently published. It showed a 3-year-old freckled-faced little boy. His diaper was bagging and he was dragging a little stuffed animal, a teddy bear, across behind him. And he comes and he's standing in front of a door. The door is to the bedroom of his mother and father. And there's a sign written on the door by a very weary mother. It said, "Close for business. Motherhood is out of order." Sacrificing life of a mother does not end when a child is old enough to go to school or college or when they turn 30 or 40 or 50 or 63 or 64. It never ends. A child is always on the mother's heart. I heard about a mother that would sing to her son when he was small until he went to sleep. She did not sing Brahms lullabies, but instead she sung the old hymns of the faith and choruses like we've sung today, and he would drift off hearing those wonderful words. He said that he was always reminded of it when he went to church and he heard the music, he went right to sleep. Mother's Day is always a challenge for me personally, because I suppose my mother died when I was young, because I'm aware that many of you are grieving the loss of your mother, or you have a mother who's in a nursing home or who's sick or growing old. I know that many people who sit and listen to a Mother's Day sermon never felt an unconditional love because their parent left them when they were young, and sometimes they feel abandoned. Sometimes they feel that their mother abused them verbally or physically. It's a difficult time. It's a difficult time because the mothers who are here always feel that they're not really the ideal mother, that there was something they could have done better. As a matter of fact, mothers have the habit of blaming every bad thing we do on themselves. If I had just done this, then my child would not have followed that crooked road. It's a day when many of us feel the pain of having children that have left in anger. Sometimes a mother will come to me and she doesn't know where her children are, she doesn't know what they're doing, or some child is self-destructive. And so I know that Mother's Day is a day when mothers reach out and want to feel the warmth of their family, and quite often they're ignored. For years, we've done nursing home ministries, and there are many mothers who are there who've been abandoned, just warehoused by their children. And it's a day when all of us understand that some mothers feel as though the times have just been too tough. They've been working too hard, and then they blame themselves for working. They've left their child at home when they needed to be there with them. It's difficult. And today we come not to judge but to honor all of you who chose to bring a child into this world. There are many mothers who have not. I was watching a film the other night, and I thought perhaps the most hurtful thing a mother could say to a child when she told her child she wished that she had aborted it before it was born. You are women who chose to bring a child into the world, and we honor you for that today. We honor you for your efforts to bring up the next generation in really tough times. We honor you because there have been many times when we were sick and you didn't know what else to do. And you turned to God and prayed and got us through. Today is a day we honor you. In the church, we don't honor people as we ought. There are many times when I could single out any Sunday morning someone who's done something that would seem extraordinary in anyone's opinion. It was just something that a person did that was wonderful. And very seldom do we single the people out and say, hey, that was a good job, because we expect Christians to live a certain lifestyle above the normal, above the average. But mothers very seldom get thanked for all they do. And today, we thank you. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we thank you for the mothers that are here today. We thank you for our mothers, whether they are already in your arms and have found peace at last in the warm embrace of our Savior Jesus. We thank you for the mothers who raised us up in the admonition of the Lord, who brought us to church even when their husbands wouldn't come. We praise you, Father, for those that sang nursery rhymes to us and tried to give us that first biblical instruction in the home. We thank you, Father, for the ones that loved us so much that they were willing to go to work and sacrifice so many things that they themselves wanted or needed for us so that we would have, whether they did or not. We thank you for that. I thank you for all the mothers who have literally laid down their life so that a child might be born. We thank you for instituting motherhood. We thank you for all that it teaches us about your very nature. Father, we ask today that everything we do and everything we say might bring glory to you, for every mother who lives does so as a reflection of your glory and for your glory. And so, Father, we ask that mothers the world round, mothers in this place, mothers across our nation, mothers around the world, may sense your presence in their life and understand how great a challenge it is to bring a human life into this world. Father, we ask that you would cast out my words, for they'll be insufficient to express what needs to be the truth today. And so we ask you to minister to every heart, to minister to those who are grieving because they didn't have a mother that reflected your love, or because their mother has died, or because they're completely at outs with their mother this day. We pray for those who are mothers who are here who have a hurt in their heart because their child seems to be going away from them and not walking the paths that they've taught them to walk. We pray for all of us, Father, that you will comfort every man, woman, and child in this place today and bring us to a closer understanding of your will by the power of your Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, through my journey in the Bible, I've met a mother named Hannah. And I'd like you to meet her too. She is an example of a faithful steward of life. She is one who jumps off the pages of the Bible and explains to us what a mother's supposed to do and what a mother's supposed to be like. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 through 18, listen to about Hannah. Hannah arose after having finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat of the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. And then in verse 20, And so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now from the man, her husband, Elkanah, and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, Not until the child is weaned, then I will make him that he appear before the Lord and remain there forever. Hannah had a husband who loved her. He loved her so much. But she could not bear children. And so Hannah was sorrowful because bearing children was something she felt like she owed to God. Her husband took another wife, and he had, with this other wife, many children. And that just made Hannah more sorrowful still. Till the fact that her husband, who loved her so much, said, Why are you grieving? Isn't having me worth having 10 sons? But Hannah would not be consoled. Hannah went to Shiloh. Shiloh was like for them the church. And she went to Shiloh, and every time she would go to Shiloh, she would pray to God earnestly, petitioning him that she might, even in her old age, bear a male child. She continued to pray that God would open her womb and that God would treat her with blessing. And she promised that if God would do this for her, that she would give the child back to God and raise him and treat him as though he were God's own son. God heard her prayer and answered her, giving her the desire of her heart. But you know, like many people, she wanted to hold on to what God had given her. I know that men and women can both understand that today. Boys and girls can understand it. God has given you so much. He is the one who gives us all good and perfect things. Every blessing you have comes from God. And He gave it to you. He gave you life. The question for all of us is, will we give our life back to God? He gave us our talents. And our question is, will we give our talents back to God? He gave you your health. Will you give Him your energy and your strength? Everything you are and everything you have, will you give it to God? He gave you all of the gifts of the Spirit. Will you give them back humbly to God? For every good and perfect thing you had came from Him. Will you return it to Him? Hannah was in that situation. She had her heart's desire, but she also had made a pledge to God that she would give back her wonderful son. She had one caveat. She was going to give it back when he was weaned. Now, in some cultures, children are not weaned when they're 6 months old or a year old. They're weaned when they're a year or two or three or four or five, six. Some cultures are 6 or 7 years old before a child is weaned. And I know that Hannah held that child as long as she could, just like some of us hold back from God the thing that He's given to us until we feel like we just can't. I will tell you that for myself as an actor, I had a gift. I held it back from God. What have you held back from God? What have you held back from Him? Have you held your children back? Have you wanted them for yourself instead of releasing them to God's care? How about yourself? Have you given yourself to God completely, or have you only given yourself in part to God? Have you given Him part of yourself, not your whole self? It wouldn't have done for Hannah just to give part of her son back to God, would it? He wanted her entire boy, not just the hair from his head or the toenails. And sometimes that's all we give back to God, is just the things that we don't need or we don't want anymore. I know in my own life, when I was struck down with a heart attack, I thought, well, God's finally got my attention. He called me as a youngster to the ministry, and I ignored that and ran around and did my own thing and used the gifts He gave me to make a living and to do what I wanted to do. And then when I had the heart attack, I thought, okay, I'm going to continue to do that, but I'm going to be there for God, and I'll give Him more of my time. I was already burning the candle at several ends because I was trying to have my cake and eat it too. I was trying to be a businessman and trying to be a servant of God at the same time. But the Bible says you can't be a servant of two masters. And so then God kind of woke me up again, and I had an open heart surgery. This time I figured old stubborn Will finally got the message. And so I said to God, okay, I'll be yours full time. Now, He'd only been asking me to do that since I was 7. So for 40 years, He'd been after me. And I finally said, okay, what there is left of me, you can have. I'm worried about that, because what about all those times when I didn't surrender what was left of me? Have you done that? Have you surrendered what was left of you? She only had one child. She just had one child. He was asking for everything she had. And that's what God asked from us. Everything we have, everything we love, everything we are, He wants it all. And you know something? He deserves it all. Because when you give everything you love to God, He gives back to you pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. You can't outgive God, but you have to release it and let it go. This woman was persistent. She just prayed so much that people thought she was drunk. Be filled with the Spirit, not with wine, the Bible says. Well, sometimes she wasn't saying anything. Nobody could hear what was on her heart. It says that her lips were moved. The message came from her heart. No one could hear her. She wasn't speaking in some language that they didn't understand or anything. She was speaking only to God. And people thought she was drunk. Have you ever sold out to the place where you would be so in touch with God that people thought you were crazy? I know people think I'm crazy sometimes, but it's only when I really release myself to God. She completely sought after God. You notice that she didn't run to a doctor and say, oh my goodness, doctor, I can't have a child. She didn't go and berate her husband and say, it's your fault I don't have a child. She didn't do anything like that. She went to God. She didn't go to any of the other gods that were worshipped by the other people. She went to one true God, and she poured out her heart to Him because He was the only one who could give her the desire of her heart, a male child. And she knew that even when he did, that that child would not be heard. How often have you promised God that you would give Him your tithes and offerings, but something comes up and it's a hard time and you have to make a decision and you don't do it? How many times has God challenged you to give to Him your talent, but you decide to use your talent to make a living instead of giving it to God for His glory? How many times have we failed where Hannah did not? Hannah was reluctant to give what she had to God. She waited until He was weaned. But once He was weaned, she gave Him with her whole heart to God. I think of sometimes we are so forgetful of God's blessings that we're reluctant to give up what we have. We pray for someone to be healed, and God heals. All of you are witness to that. How many of you have been healed by the hand of God? All the hands ought to go up because He's the only one that healed you. Doctors treated you. How many of you have been touched by the hand of God? All hands should go up. How many? And yet in those times when we cried out, oh, God, protect that child, or God, protect that mother, or God, protect that father, or that friend, and we promised anything. If God, you will only do this for me, if you'll only get me out of debt this one time, I won't do that anymore. If you'll just let me survive this one time, this overdose that I've taken, I won't take drugs anymore. If you'll just let me do this, and we're so repentant, and then we turn around and forget that He blessed us. Hannah never forgot. Hannah never forgot. God doesn't forget either. In the Middle East, many times there's a word called Ori, O-R-I. And that means the special imprint of God. In African cultures and Middle Eastern cultures, they talk about the Ori of a child. It really means this. It means that individual stamp that God has placed on a child. For every child is unique and loved by God. He already counts every hair on their head. He already knows everything in their minds and their hearts. He loves them, and He's created them for a specific purpose. And the culture, even in the African culture, teaches that you should not ever tamper with a child's Ori, that that's a thing that you just don't want to tamper with because God calls it sacred. It may be the exact reason that Jesus said that it is worse for you if you mess with one of these little ones of mine than if someone tied a millstone around your neck and threw you into the sea. Because God entrusts us with the most precious thing we know as human beings, and that is life. He entrusts us with someone that is made in His own image. So we're obviously disturbed when we hear about a parent that doesn't take that seriously. We hear about a parent that abuses a child. It hurts our heart because we naturally, from our inner being, whether we're Christians or not, are upset when we see that a child is abused. Because inwardly we know there's something back in our spiritual DNA that tells us, whether we're religious or not, that there's something that is wrong about destroying the child's Ori, changing it. And yet we do it all the time. We try to change our children from who God created them to be someone else. We'll say, oh, well, this child is talented in this way, but they'll never make a good living, so let's channel that child's energy into becoming a nuclear physicist because they make a lot of money, or a brain surgeon because they make a lot of money. Oh, I know the child loves to create and the child loves to do this, but let's don't do that. Let's get this child to make money. Let's make sure that they make money. How often do we force our children into situations where they're to make money instead of allowing them to grow in the gifts that God has given them? That, and Hannah was willing to do that. Hannah was very aware that she had a child that was given to her by God, and she was going to treat that child with the utmost respect. I can almost imagine every stitch of clothing he had, she probably made for him. She probably wouldn't let anybody else mess with him. It was her boy. Her boy with the long hair, that's hair would never be cut because of her vow before God. This was a child that she probably didn't get to see in his old age grow up to be one of the great judges of all of Israel, one of the great men of all Israel. She trained up her child in the way he should go, and he did not depart from it. She probably never saw it in this life, but she saw it. She learned to love and trust God. Hannah was a steward of God's greatest gift, the gift of life. We honor Hannah because of her faith and her persistent prayer. But most of all, we honor her because of her promise to God. Mothers, no child belongs to you. You have them for a while, but they belong to God, every single child. I know, even though you've carried them to term in your bodies, and you've risked your own physical health and even life, even though you've sacrificed everything you had for them, you have not purchased them. Only Jesus has purchased them with the blood on the cross. You do not own your children. You're a steward of your children. Yes, and even your grandchildren too. Even after you have looked to God for everything else, you must understand this, that children are ours temporarily, but they're God's for keeps. And He will keep them. He will love them more than we're capable of loving them. He will carry them back home. There are four things I want you to remember about Hannah, because there are four things that every man, woman, and child in the sound of my voice can do. The first thing is that Hannah was persistent. She was persistent. You know, Jesus said that even the woman that went before the unjust judge and was persistent and kept coming back and coming back and coming back, she finally got the thing that she desired. And He said, how much more so from a God who loves you? Hannah was persistent. She didn't give up when the world said, you're too old to have a child. She didn't give up when her husband tried to comfort her and say, look, you got me, you don't need a child. And many of you women think that we're the biggest children you ever had. I noticed that there was nobody in this auditorium that, and my wife included, that said, I've got a child that's standing in front of you right there. That doesn't count. The fact is that God loves you and God cares about you, but she was persistent to go to the one who could help her. She didn't run to doctors who couldn't. She didn't run to other people. She didn't wear funny little things around her neck or get down on her knees and crawl around for stones to knock together and go, or whatever. She went to God with her persistent prayer, even though it almost made her sick. It made her look foolish in the eyes of men to the point where they thought she was drunk. She was persistent. So we learn persistence from her. And we learn that Jesus says that if we're persistent, whatever we ask for will be done for us. He really honors persistence. He tells us that whoever seeks will find. That's an absolute promise to the one who is persistent. He says that He hears and He will hear, and that we're to keep on coming back. That the fervent prayers, not the kind of lackadaisical prayer, not the prayer that just kind of comes along and comes to our mind, but the fervent prayer of the righteous man or woman, the one that's in tune with God, availeth much. Persistence. Second thing that we learn from her is that she goes and places her faith in the one who is the giver of all good and perfect things. Doesn't do you any good to be persistent in front of a stone. This last week we had a multi-faith prayer service, and it hurts me in my heart. Because even though they got the approval of men, because all these different beliefs could kind of join together and sing kumbaya, they didn't get anything from God. Because Jesus says there's only one way to Him, and that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. So we do that sometimes. We place all of our persistence in climbing the ladder of success or getting an education or trying to get a better job or trying to get a job or whatever it is that we're looking for, and we get off course and we don't follow God. We have to be persistent in the following of God. She knew God was the answer to her problems. She knew it, and she went for it. So number one, she was persistent. Number two, she was persistent before God. She had faith and trust in Him. Number three, she knew that every good and perfect thing that came from God, she was merely a steward of and nothing more. Not the owner, not the master, but a steward of. A steward is someone who takes care of something the master has given them and makes sure that they return it to him in pristine condition. She was going to be a good steward of this child. She was going to raise the child in the way it should go. Not as a man who would be a man of the world, but a man who would be a man of God. So we learn that not only was she persistent, not only did she trust and put her faith in God, but she understood the glorious thing that God was the one that she had to please. That He was the one. And fourth, she gave God all the glory. My goodness. In chapter 2, it says that she gave her son back to, in chapter 1, it says she gave her son back to God. And then she sings this song in chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. There is no idol that man has. There's no money that you can have. You can be the richest person in the world, and it's nothing more than a rock. And it's not the rock that you want to stand on. It's not the rock of our faith. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and He lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversities of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven He will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to His king and exalt the horn of His anointed." My prayer for each and every one of you, every mother, every grandmother in this place, every young child, every man, is this: that you will persistently seek after God, because in Him are all your heart's desire. That you will seek only those things that will bring glory to God, and that you will give them back to God for His entire use. That means everything about you, everything you are, and everything you have must be given back to God. It means that when we come in a solemn occasion and baptize, or we take the Lord's Supper, or we come and unite people in marriage, or we come to a funeral service and give our beloved into the hands and keeping of our blessed Lord, that we know we have returned to God what was already and always His, that we have merely said amen to something that was obvious. I pray that each and every one of us shall be faithful to that God and realize that no other force on earth can do what He can do. I pray for you that you will understand that no matter how many times you slip and how many times you fall and how many times you fail, that God is the God of second chances. And as long as you get up and are willing to give Him what you have, He will take that, and miraculously those little loaves and fishes will feed the multitudes. Those few little widow's mites will build the temple. Those little gifts that you think are so insignificant will be used in the hands of God to create great and mighty things. I pray that each and every one of us will realize that we have to give ourselves away to God, for He loves us. He blesses us. He blesses both the gift and the giver. He is the one who loves you, and we should give Him glory, praise, and worship every minute of our lives. For He is the one who has made us and sustains us by His love. Let us go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we give You praise this day for the mothers that are around us, and for Hannah as an example of what each and every one of us should be. One who is persistent and never gives up, because we know that You are the one who can do the impossible, that You make all things right, that You are the one that can solve every hurt in our life, can heal every pain that we have, can do all things, because You are the creator of the universe and sustainer. Father, we thank you and praise you for people that love you so much that they turn and give themselves away to you. Father, we pray that we'll be a people like that, that will give ourselves away in Jesus' name every single day. Whatever we are, whatever we have, whatever we hope to be, whatever we hope to have, we lay at your feet in humble adoration. Father, may we be a people that will never give up because you are a God that never gives up on us. May we cherish one another because you love every one of us with a love that sent your own Son to the cross. Father, there may be someone in this congregation today who's never given their heart and their life to Jesus Christ. Someone who needs to do that today. And I know that their mothers will be proud, and I know that their fathers will weep. But Father, this is the day when I know above all that the angels in heaven, the host of the air, will sing choruses of praise and worship to you for the lost sheep that has come home. So Father, if there's someone here who's willing to take the challenge to be one who comes and persistently seeks to the one who always forgives, may that happen today. Father, we pray that as we open up the altar today, that anyone who needs to come and pray will pray, that anyone who wants to rededicate their life and be more like Hannah will come, that anyone who wants to join the church or stand in the place of another, that for whatever purpose they may come, because you have opened your arms to embrace us all. Father, we thank you for this day and for those who are here. Now, spread your net, Holy Spirit, and draw who will come, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand for the invitation?
Have thine own way. Make me its way. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see Christ on thee always living in me. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Would you bow with me? May the Lord bless and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And may you, in your rising ups and your laying down, in every action of your life, give yourself back to the one who gave life to you and who gave eternal life to all who would come to his Son. For we ask it in his most precious name, in Jesus' name. Amen.